Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you opinion and our commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, May 12th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
I hope all the audience had a wonderful Mother's Day yesterday, May 11th. I didn't have a
wonderful Mother's Day.
Didn't you have a wonderful Mother's Day?
Well, I'm not a mom. I guess that explains
you'll be
it.
You can still have a nice day, celebrate Mother's, and of course Father's Day will be coming up soon. So perhaps you can enjoy that day.
Make up for mediocre Mother's Day by having a good Father's Day, huh?
Oh, I loved my mother, and I miss her dearly. I didn't realize you could miss someone as much as I miss her. But anyway, let's go see what gold did today. Kind of, I miss the higher numbers in gold, but not so bad. Up 680 today. 680 on the gold price is closer to 1298. We have silver up 38 at 1963. Platinum was up 6 at 1442, along with palladium up 4 at 809. We have the USDX up 0.02 at 79.89. Crude oil still over a dollar, or I should say over 100, at up 62.62 at 100.61. And the paper markets today, they were all having a rip-roaring day as investors logging on to big mergers and who cares about Ukraine. And that's what they tell us anyway, with the Dow up 111 points at 16,695. The NASDAQ was up 71 at 41,43, along with the S&P up 18 at 1896. 10-year yield, 2.66. It was, a week ago that it was 2.58. And so that's moving along. So interesting, and again, the Dow and the S&P have hit record highs today, and the NASDAQ was 1.8% on tech stocks, so on tech recovery. And Al, I just want to let the listeners know, tomorrow we have David Krieger joining us from Hobson, NBT. He's he's becoming quite a regular on this program. We get so many good comments, and you know, we're going to be talking about $20 gold pieces tomorrow. We're going to talk about Mint State 65, St. Gaudens. And I was working on some comparisons prior to the program. We'll go over those tomorrow to see what these coins have done, why they're important, and why they're good to have in your portfolio. So we'll be talking about that tomorrow. Also, Al, we're going to interview James Corbett. He's the head writer for the International Forecaster. We're actually going to do a late night interview due to his location being in Japan and the difference of hours. So he will be doing an interview early morning, and it is late evening for us, but we will replay that on Thursday. So it will be a delayed broadcast, so to speak. We will do the live update as we normally do on Thursdays, and we will have Wendy Wilson join us on Friday for her 20-minute segment. So a little change in the routine this week, but it will be a good change. And James Corbett, he's very good, and we love the International Forecaster. Of course, he was the replacement for Bob Chapman. And it will be almost 2 years that we've lost Bob. So, there you have it, Al.
Seems like about 6 months, doesn't it?
Oh, I can't believe it's 2 years. It's amazing. And so many, you know, so many people, calls I receive, you know, we'll talk about our memories and Bob and what we learned from Bob. And, you know, of course, they can also listen to myself, Bob, at American Voice Radio on Saturdays. Frank plays 4 hours of programming of Bob. So they can do that on the Internet, AVR, American Voice Radio, for Saturdays, and to listen to Bob. And I always remember Bob said, if you don't have gold, you're going to find yourself living under the bridge.
What I remember is Bob eating an apple while we were doing the radio program.
He was quite the jester.
Yeah,
he was quite the jester.
Yeah, Bob was a character, that's for sure.
Yes. And at that time, if you want to listen to Bob, it starts at 3 p.m. Pacific time on Saturday. So that would be 6 p.m. Eastern time, if I got that correct. Here's an interesting article, Al. Now, this is in reference to England. But we all know what happens in England. And Bob used to say this, too. If it happens in England, it's going to be here. That we saw it in the healthcare. Our healthcare is just kind of a rewrite of what occurs in England with their health care. Their tax man has the power to raid their bank accounts without a court order. They can remove cash from bank accounts. It can be taken straight out of their bank accounts under powers to be used by the tax man. This came out on Friday. Treasury planned to allow Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs to remove cash from bank accounts without a court order. They can take it from joint accounts. It's called direct recovery. And the tax authorities admitted this week that about 17,000 people a year would be targeted under the new measures that was set out in the budget and designed for use against people who owe them money. So they will go, and hey, with our Obamacare and the fines, this might, absolutely be possibly something that could happen here.
Yeah, we live in interesting times, that's for sure. But in terms of the government taking money out of your bank account here in this country, I have no doubt that the law allows them to do that even now. They don't want to do it.
Well, they certainly freeze your accounts.
Oh, yeah, they freeze your accounts. They can take it also. This is the foundation for the bail-ins. The truth of the matter is that when you deposit money with a bank, and I can't give you the law on this. I've read it in the past, and I can't give it to you exactly because I don't clearly recall. But
when you deposit money in the bank and you think you have it in your account, you've essentially pledged or given that money to the bank, and the bank will probably give it back to you later on, but they don't need to. It's their money if it's in their bank. And returning that money to you is somewhat optional. Now, they've been good about it up until now because they understand if the word gets out that the banks don't have to return the money, your what you regard as your money, if they don't have to return it, and more, they start actually taking it, there'll be a kind of run on the banks where people sit back and they, you know, they go to the bank and say, I'm getting my money out of the bank, and it's dangerous business, but nevertheless, legally, so far as I'm able to understand, they can take your money right now if they want to.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, folks, be careful.
Yeah, I
understand. If you're having your money sitting there, even though it's earning a paltry less than 1%, I don't know why you'd want to have it in there anyway. But
well, because it's safe.
The security.
That's the idea behind it.
Let's
put it in the bank where it'll be safe. It'll be safe from the local robbers and the people who break into the house and rifle, look under your mattress, looking for your cash or whatever. It'll be safe from them. And it'll be safe. It'll be safe by the FDIC, at least for a few banks, in case the banks go broke. It'll be safe from a bank failure, at least for maybe, you know, half a dozen or 10 significant banks. And then the FDIC insurance is exhausted. But who says it's going to be safe from the government? Maybe safe from the robbers, and it may be safe from bank failures. But who guarantees the safety from the government? And the answer is no one, at least not to my knowledge. So there's no perfectly safe solution to any of the problems that we have or we may have. There's always a certain amount of risk involved, no matter which way you go with these things, and you have to decide which kind of risk seems most prudent for you. And you make choices. And if you choose right and circumstances work out the way you expect, then you'll do okay. You make bad choices, you won't do so well.
Remember little Timmy Geithner?
I do. Seems like only yesterday that he was just playing ball out in the backyard.
Little Timmy
Geithner. And what's that little scamp up to now?
Well, once you are a politician and you served your time, you can write a book, promote it, be dragged across the airwaves, and make millions and millions of dollars. And, of course, his book is being released today, and they've already started promoting him across all the airwaves on the financial programs. His book, Stress Test, Reflections on Financial Crisis, was officially debuted today. And so this is what happens. You serve your time. 52. He's 52 years old.
Let him off for good behavior.
Let him off for good behavior. Now he can promote his book, make $100 million, and.
Oh, I won't make that much off the book. No. He might make. He could make tens of millions, but I don't believe he'll make $100 million.
Well, it depends. It depends.
In any case, did they give you any clue to what's in the book?
Oh, there's
shocking revelations about.
No, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of controversy between him and economist Glenn Hubbard talking about taxes. Geithner says that he told him that the Republicans would eventually have to raise taxes. And Hubbard said, I didn't say that. So, you know, it's just, but I think little Timmy Geithner's hands are pretty tight as far as what he could really release, as far as, you know, what happened during the crisis and the banks too big to fail and so forth and how they're.
Yeah, that's the thing about it. I mean, people who know what's going on, they can't really tell what's happened. All right. They can perhaps give us a story that's acceptable to people who are still in positions of power. But even that is peculiar, because if I start telling a story, my interpretation of what happened a year ago or 5 years ago, Inevitably, somebody else is going to write a book, and they're going to tell their interpretation, and there will be conflicts. There'll be contradictions between my version of the truth and their version of the truth. And out of those conflicts, sometimes people can begin to see what really happened. It starts, you know, you get into a game of, you write books by four or five professional liars about the same events. And each one of them is going to fill in the blank with a little bit of truth and some lies. And it's hard to say what can be revealed. So my point is, I think that ideally, they would tend not to even talk about these, about the most crucial issues and crucial insights. It's best not to talk about them at all. You can't even lie about them successfully. You got to just, nope, I don't want to talk about that. That's all. Sell a good book based on how many movie starlets came into the White House back when Timothy Geithner was there. Now, that's something that'll sell. You can make millions of dollars off that. I don't know if there were any movie starlets, but that would be the sort of thing that could sell in today's market. Matter of fact, you could perhaps get a copy of the book and hand it out with everybody who orders two or more ounces of gold. We'll give you a free copy of... Timothy Geithner's Guide to the Movie Starlets in Washington, D.C.
And what else do you have, Al?
Oh, I have a certain... It's always one of those things that doesn't amuse you, Melody, but it amuses... I get a sense of humor. Yeah, but at least I've got a sense of humor. It may be a little bit warped, a little bit disturbed, but I've got one.
If that's what you claim.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay.
Here's something from, we talked about this last week. You brought up the idea that Harvard was having a...
Yeah, we did talk about that last week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And here's a recent report from the Washington Times. And the headline is more dramatic than the report. I mean, that happens on a regular basis. But it says, Holy War rocks Harvard as Catholic Church fights back against satanic mass. Church officials say they will combat evil by hosting a positive worship service to counter a Harvard group's satanic mass planned for Monday evening. All right. The headline makes it sound like they're going to set up stakes, and they are going to burn some of these people at the stake. And the article says that they're going to have an alternate private worship service, a positive worship service. The Roman
Let me ask you a question. How can a black mass be a positive worship service?
No, that's not a positive. The Catholic Church will have a positive worship service at the same time as the black mass.
Oh, they don't. And they call it a positive.
Competition to see who draws the biggest audience. That's what we'll hear tomorrow. Maybe late tonight. We'll find out. Who attracted the biggest audience? Was it the Satanists or was it the Catholics? All right. So in any case, they're just 10 minutes walk from where the black mass is going to be held. And there's going to be an opportunity for people to essentially vote. You can vote by showing up for the black mass, which will be held at the Queen's Head Pub, okay, where they serve alcohol. Or you can vote by going to the Catholic Church, where they sometimes serve itty bitty cups of grape juice. All right, I think this is the problem. I don't know if we're going to be able to tell how many people are interested in the black. We're interested in a Catholic service, but we might find out how many people were interested in getting drunk. What do you think, Melody?
I don't know. I think the whole thing.
Drunk or just, or as a statement of religion.
I don't know. I find the whole thing very disturbing.
Yeah.
It is. I just can't believe that these kids are impressionable and we already promote enough Satanism in this country, and it's part of the problem. If people believe our problems are based because of a spiritual war that's going on, to find something like this and to where they actually turn it into perhaps a humorous event and competition to see which ones are more likely to show up. It's just it's
You can't do anything to stop people. They really do have freedom of religion to have their black mass if that's what they want to do. But there was a time in this country where people would not cross that line. It was just common sense. You just understood.
I lost you, Al. Hello?
Have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, Melody. Oh, what am I thinking? I'm talking to Melody in between during the commercial break, and I'm saying, hi, Melody. I'm supposed to say, hi, ladies and gentlemen. This is Financial Survival brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, and I'm here with co-host Melody Cederstrom.
Hi, Al.
What's next, Melody? Hi.
Hi, Al.
Yeah.
I just want to remind the listeners to get to our website. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And, of course, as a reminder, we're going to have David Krieger on. We're going to talk about $20 gold pieces tomorrow and why they're important, why they should be a part of your portfolio. It provides protection, privacy, profit, you know. Everybody always talks about, oh, boy, did they really drop in price? Well, yeah. When you have something that goes up considerably, yeah, you're going to have if you have a reversal, yes, you're going to have the same decline. It does provide a little volatility, but, of course, you can have some serious gains to the upside. You can also have stability, too, during volatility in bullion markets. We're seeing that with Men's State 65, $20 gold pieces. They're actually up over this past year. So with a big drop in gold prices, and they're up. And there's been a big demand for Men's State 65, $20 St. Gaudens. So we'll be talking about those tomorrow, so make sure you tune in. And if you have any questions for the program today, dgscoins.com is the website, and the email is questions@dgscoins.com. questions@dgscoins.com.
Okay, Melody, what's next?
Oh...
How about insurgents say Ukraine region opts for sovereignty? Donetsk, Ukraine, Associated Press. 90% of voters in a key industrial region in eastern Ukraine came out in favor of sovereignty Sunday, pro-Russian insurgents said. Now, here's the problem. One of the election chiefs in the Donetsk People's Republic, they are trying to break off not simply a chunk of the Ukraine and become Russia, part of Russia. It's not simply in the sense that the Crimea has. What they're trying to do is actually form their own little republics. There'll be one around Donetsk and another one around another region on the east side of Ukraine that won't be part of the Ukraine. They want to bust loose from the Ukraine, but they don't necessarily want to be part of Russia at this time. Now, I'm going to guess that they'll go to Russia later on, but their order of business is to establish an independent state in the same sense that some people talk about breaking Texas loose from the United States and forming our own nation. Huh? Now, they're using this vote, Sunday's vote, as a basis to argue that they can set up the Republic of Donetsk and the Republic of one other province and claim that it's a republic. I have no idea how that's going to work out. But here's the problem. We've got people reporting that 75% of the 3 million or so voters cast ballots, and 90% of the voters backed sovereignty. But it goes on and says, with no international election monitors in place, it was all but impossible to verify the insurgents' claims. Okay? Well, nobody there. There's no independent sources to verify that they actually had 75% of the people voted, and 90% of those who did vote voted for sovereignty. There's no one to verify that. And the problem is the preliminary vote count was announced just 2 hours after the polls closed in an election conducted with paper ballots. So the point is, they're saying that roughly over 2 million people voted and that they counted 2 million ballots, paper ballots, in less than 2 hours after the election closed. That's not absolutely impossible, assuming the votes were being counted throughout the day while the election was taking place. But it is unlikely. So the point is, more than likely, the election results have been exaggerated and falsified. But the results of the two referendums could hasten the breakup of the country and worsen what is already the gravest crisis between the West and Russia since the end of the Cold War. Implication. The insurgents, they call them insurgents here, these are the Russian people in eastern Ukraine who want to be part of Russia again, calling them insurgents. President Putin of Russia asked them to please don't hold the election yesterday, Sunday, because it would only aggravate the tensions that are already in there. So let's let this thing cool out a little bit. Let's get you people to sit down and talk to the people of Ukraine and see if there's some sort of we can work out a diplomatic solution to this problem before we start taking votes. And, of course, the people in the Ukraine, the Russians in the Ukraine, said they weren't going to take orders from Putin, and they didn't want to take orders from the Ukraine, and they want their own little republics, at least for now. So we have a problem that is quite possibly going to wind up in a shooting war if we don't watch this. If everyone doesn't watch their step, people have to be becoming increasingly angry, frustrated. And under those circumstances, they can't seem to do anything to resolve this problem. And they won't just let it alone. And just say, okay, fine, do you want to join Russia? Fine, go, get out of here. Don't let the door hit you in the butt on the way out. You understand? If they were sensible, that might be the choice. But they don't want to do that. The Ukraine government doesn't want to do that. And so what's going to happen? You get that frustration factor going, and you are almost certainly going, someone's going to pull the trigger. Matter of fact, I saw another article just today where 23 cops, I think in Miami-Dade, they were chasing two people in a car. One of them was guilty of some sort of an offense. The other one was completely innocent of anything, at least that they were, so far as they knew at the time. The two people escaped. Well, they didn't escape. The two people had a wreck, and the car was trapped between a tree and a light post and couldn't move. And while it was there, the cops shot over 300 rounds of ammunition into the vehicle. The people in the vehicle, they didn't have any guns. They didn't fire anything. They tried to get away from the cops, but they didn't shoot at anybody. Well, they're both dead. And it's an illustration of what happens when people get frustrated. All of a sudden, one guy shoots, and next thing you know, every cop that's out there starts shooting. Same thing happens. Same thing can happen in the Ukraine. You can just hit a point where all of a sudden, bang, some idiot, by accident, maybe his finger's trembling, by stupidity, by who knows why, pulls the trigger, and next thing you know, you got a war on your hands. As an aside, I saw something else earlier today that indicated that Russia supplies about half of the world's platinum and palladium. Is now the time to invest in those minerals? Metals, Melody? And what about Platinum Eagles? Is there a point to investing in Platinum Eagles?
I think if people want to invest, they are making Platinum Eagles again. So it kind of gives you an idea that they do expect to see the platinum prices increase. I think as Russia goes, it's difficult with these two metals. They can be very volatile. They're industrial metals.
Yeah.
They're used for catalytic converters for pollution situations. So you'd have to, you know, the way I reason is you look to see who's going to be using them. Everybody says, oh, buy palladium, because China is going to be buying all these vehicles and that palladium is going to be used for catalytic converters. This is true. Let's take a look at China's pollution problem, significant. So they will have to do something, and it comes to reason that they would have a use for platinum and palladium. On the other hand, we see the relationship between China and Russia become more united, become tighter, even with this Ukraine situation. Putin is going to China later on in the month. They're doing various negotiations and so forth. I can't imagine Russia sticking it to China at this point in time and raising palladium, you know, by, you know, 50% and platinum by 50%, you know.
Well, they might not raise it. They might not raise it what they sell to China. But they might give, they might continue a certain price with China while they raise prices for other countries. I mean, you can sign a treaty with people to guarantee that we'll sell you corn at a particular price. We're going to sell it to the rest of the world at 50% more.
Maybe.
We're going to give you a special break. It's possible that that could happen.
But if it's being used industrial for the rest of the world, you'd have to think that the rest of the world, everyone believes we're going to be headed into some sort of a world recession very soon. And so I believe if that's the case, then you're going to see people pulling back from the need of platinum and palladium other than China, because they still have to deal with this pollution problem. So I think if people have their gold and silver portfolios and they're positioned and they've built their foundations and they have a nice gold and silver and they want to speculate on platinum, I wouldn't have a problem with platinum. I think we're seeing some high prices with palladium. My target for the past 10 years have been 800 so on palladium. Now we have reached 800 and I'm not quite, I'm in the process of reviewing to see what next numbers could be for palladium. So we know palladium's high has been 1,000. And again, that was a play mainly by Ford. So is 1,000 the next step for palladium? I would think so. I still reserve to see how this really plays out between this Ukraine situation and Russia at this point in time.
I understand. It's probably too early to make a comment. Or you can raise the issue. We can talk about it. We can wonder about it. We probably don't have enough information yet to
all the precious
make a reliable
metals.
Guess.
I mean, all precious metals we see, we know, are low prices. We know platinum is low. Palladium is high. But the platinum price is low. Gold prices are low. Silver prices are low. So those are the ones that I would be interested in. If I had a choice between platinum and palladium, I would choose platinum.
Yeah.
Because I know palladium is at a higher level than platinum. Plus, we see the platinum eagles being reintroduced by the mint. So I'm sure they have an idea that those prices are going to rise. So I would think platinum would be a good bet at this time.
Yeah, I think it probably is. It's, you know, you can rate the metals according to whether they are primarily monetary or primarily industrial. And you go and you look at gold, primarily a monetary metal. It will respond to things monetary rather than, it's not just a question of economics. It goes to politics and monetary issues. Silver is the next, that's right, it's the next monetary metal, but it's also industrial. It's got a kind of dual capacity going on there. If the economy goes better and silver is needed, all right, then the price of silver goes up. If the monetary system gets shakier, then in theory the price of silver goes up. It's kind of in the middle point. And then we have platinum and palladium, which are more industrial metals. They don't really function. You can invest in them in the same way you can invest in copper, for example, or zinc or any other metal. They don't have, even though there are platinum eagles, they don't have a monetary role to the same degree that you see in gold and perhaps silver. So if the economy is going up and getting stronger, then those platinum and palladium are not a bad idea. On the other hand, if the monetary system is becoming more shaky and it looks like the fiat dollar is going to decline in value, then gold would appear to be the place to be.
The one thing I want to say, Al, is the precious metals sector, they do have a tendency sometimes to run in tandem. And I think we've seen some of these big hits in gold. You always will see maybe the white metals, maybe platinum, palladium get hit extra hard, and you'll see the other ones come down too. So I do believe that is just like the tech sector, just like any other sector in investments. You can hit one sector and, you know, it can affect others. We also know that the precious metals is also a small market. It is easy to manipulate these precious metals. So you could have anything from left field come along and it can change. When we talk about the lack of product in the future, it's because these markets are so tiny. There's not a lot to go around, especially finished product, coins, currencies, coins that have been manufactured. Pre-33 items, they're not mass produced anymore. They're not, so they're very limited in supply. And then you do have the modern issue items. Yes, but the gold overall is small. We don't know how much gold is out there. Sure, there's estimates and so forth. But overall, in comparison to everything else, it's a very small market. And that's why you can see some big swings quickly. And you do look at whether they're industrial and the impacts of the monetary. So we can have a monetary problem and gold will start to rise, but it can also bring the other metals along, just like silver. Silver is also industrial, but it's going to play out as a monetary metal also, I believe, in the future.
Yeah, probably so. Silver is more monetary, ultimately, than industrial.
I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver for all your gold and silver coin needs. 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, we got a question coming in about Ukraine. According to Press TV, over 400 American private soldiers from a security company are fighting alongside the Ukrainian army. Would this inflame this critical situation?
Of course. I mean, and that may be exactly what they want. You know, Russia, this thing started out, Russia was going to, the Crimea wanted to rejoin Russia. It was part of Russia up until about 1954. It was the Soviet Union removed it from Russia and gave it to Ukraine. All right, that's like somebody coming along and taking the panhandle from Texas and giving it to Oklahoma or somebody. It's not going to sit well. All right. There are going to be Texans that are going to remember it for a while, and they're going to say, we want the panhandle back, and when the time is ripe, they will try to get it. This is just the way people are. The Russians could do this, And if people had just let it go, it would have been done. Most of the people in the Crimea are Russian. They wanted to rejoin Russia, which is where they were up until 1954, and they are arbitrarily separated from Russia by the Soviet Union. All right, it could have just let it go, but no. You know, it had to go on and on, and my point is that there are people that want this to go on and on. Because now Russia really is being made to pay. Our government talks about economic sanctions that are being imposed on some of the Russian people, and by some, I mean a few dozen. Can't go to Disney World this year, and their money in foreign banks may be seized or frozen or something like that. A few dozen, 70 maybe, people in Russia are paying a price on this. That's not a big deal. It's not enough to cause the nation to be upset. But insofar as Russia has to absorb the cost of keeping some number of military personnel along the border with the Ukraine, and they have to absorb the cost of going on a higher standard of awareness, alert, and they have to absorb the cost of possibly getting dragged into a war before this is done, some sort of a shooting conflict, well, Russia's paying more price. There really are economic consequences that are being imposed on Russia, but not so much, not in the sense that we are going to deprive them of their ability to sell oil. We're going to simply cause them to divert resources to deal with things like alleged several hundred private military from some corporation, perhaps the CIA, Blackwater, who knows who's in there? I don't even know. Blackwater doesn't even exist anymore, so far as I know. But they will keep stirring this hornet's nest until something happens that is not fun for anyone. And they're not doing it for the benefit of the Ukraine people. And they're not doing it for the benefit of anyone over there. They are agent provocateurs who are simply trying to foster a fight. They're going over and talking to some of these Russians that are still in the eastern Ukraine, and they're saying, let's you and them fight. Here, we're going to help you to fight them. We're going to give you who knows what. Anti-helicopter missiles. Shot down a couple of helicopters. I know they didn't. I don't believe they shot them down with AK-47s. It's not impossible, but I don't think that's what did it. I think they were taken out with missiles, but I don't really know. In any case, can they cause more trouble? It's not just can they, it's almost certain that that is their intention, to cause more trouble. Not to resolve the situation, but to aggravate it, make it worse, until it finally becomes something like a chain reaction in a nuclear reactor, and the whole thing just runs wild. I talked earlier, 23 cops fired, I think it was 373 bullets into a car, parked car with two people who were unarmed. Killed them both. That's what some people are looking for in the Ukraine at this time, and they don't care who dies. That's the thing about this. You know, if you're going to go to a war and you have a reason for that war, all right, you stand to gain. You are going to address some sort of an alleged assault, offense, all right, I'm not arguing in favor of war, but if there's a reason for you personally to participate and say, yes, let's go to war, all right, we can work with that. But what do you do with people that don't have a reason other than they just want war? What do you do with that? And there's something, you know, it raises questions and issues and it makes you wince. There are people in this world who want war. They're not just looking for rationalizations. They're not because they were hurt, because they were invaded, because the Crimea was improperly annexed by Ukraine back 50-some years ago, and now it's been annexed again by Russia. That isn't what this is about. Somebody wants a problem, and they're going to try to make it happen. So, will those 400 foreign soldiers, activists, whatever name you want to put on them, Will they aggravate the situation? Yeah, buddy. What else, Melody?
Well, we have a letter, an email from Walter, and he sent this to us, and it will probably go into next week's newsletter. And he says he loves the show, and he listens to it faithfully. And this was a letter to the editor. And he says it tells the story of how he feels about all that is going on. He lives in Cheyenne now, but his roots do go back to Rhode Island. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, just parts of it, and folks can sign up and get the newsletter for the complete thing. But he says on the letter to the editor says on the Ocean State Atlantic coast in the small fishing village of Wickford, there are several very well preserved homes that date back to the early 1700s. Multiple generations of Caring Road Islanders valued these treasures, took meticulous care of their respective domiciles. Each and every occupant recognized the value of their home, along with the need to preserve it for those folks who would follow. What proof do we have of that? Well, all one has to do is enter one of the buildings, especially in winter, and feel the warmth and see the well-kept surroundings. Sadly, it would take less than 5 minutes for a careless occupant to destroy one of these dwellings. One blazing inferno mistakenly or purposely set would turn one of these revered, well-cared for buildings into just a memory. And he fears that is what's going on in Washington. Tears run down my face when he thinks of the America that President Obama and his regime of misfits are leaving his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. He's feared he's lived too long. He says the elections and the subsequent tyranny of Obama's regime will answer a question never before asked or even imagined in American politics. He says may history relegate the name Obama to the same level of disgust and revulsion as Judas, Jezebel, and Hitler. Our Christian forefathers established constitutional safeguards to stifle such ruthless and unlawful acts. They fully understand that American citizens may someday have to be protected from a villain. And so the final statement, is it going to take red Chinese tanks rumbling down our streets to wake us up?
I don't know. It's one of those things, you know, what wakes people up? Again, I've said it a bunch of times, but it's right there in the Declaration of Independence, which I happen to have a copy here. Let's see. All experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer, while evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. What they mean is that people of every country, not just this country, every country will put up with an inordinate amount of oppression, offense, treason by their own government rather than take action and get rid of that government and reestablish something that'll do them some good. I have no doubt that that's the same thing that goes on throughout most of the world and has gone on throughout history. And I think perhaps the lesson, and it continues until we finally hit the point where, again, we're talking about the 23 cops fired 373 bullets or whatever into one car that was jammed up in one place, couldn't move, couldn't go any further. All of a sudden, you hit a point where it's like a rat trap springs, bang! And it just starts to run, and it cascades, and people say, oh my gosh, how did this ever happen? It's been building and building for a long time before you get to that. And people are lulled into a state of complacency by the fact that they've been getting away with it for decades. You know, people are never going to do anything about it. Well, the day may yet come when the people do stand up on their hind legs. They're aware. It's not a question of where Melody and I and whoever's listening to this program, we're aware and the rest of the country isn't aware. No, the rest of the country is aware. They know what we're talking about. They're sensitive to the idea. They don't know what to do about it. They're concerned by the idea. But when do we hit that When do we hit that moment when the nation finally reaches its gag reflex and says, that's it, that's enough, this is going to end now, we're going to stop this now? Nobody knows. What you're talking about in the letter, will it stop when there are Chinese tanks on our soil? Well, I don't expect to ever see Chinese tanks on American soil. You'd have to be insane. China would have to be insane to try a stunt like that. Because even if it were possible for China to bring people over here to establish some sort of military presence that was there to oppress the American people, they couldn't count on being able to pull it off. They couldn't count on being able to pull it off. We've got, 80 million people in this country that are armed, 60 million anyway. The fears of that foreign enemy, it's not really there. When we take that oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, you can't find a foreign enemy to our Constitution without a great deal of search. What you have to be concerned about are the domestic enemies, foreign, to protect that Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. It's the domestic enemies. They're the ones you have to watch out for. In any case, speaking to the Chinese, here's a little article from Business Insider.
I have another question.
Okay.
According to a DEPCA file, Iran's Ayatollah Khamenei threw a large spanner in nuclear diplomacy Sunday, May 11th. When he told the Revolutionary Guards to start mass-producing missiles. This is due to the stalling of nuclear negotiations. Do you have a take on that?
Well, the take is it's ratcheting up. You know, we seem to be finding people that are willing to ratchet these things up, these problems. They are willing to throw another log on the fire. They're willing to hit the hornet's nest one more time to see if they can get some more hornets to fly out of the nest. We haven't hit the moment of war yet, but there are a number of different places where you can see this kind of tension rising. For example, you've got the Ukraine is obvious. And here we have Iran. They're building more missiles. Where are the missiles going to go? Almost certainly they're intended to go at Israel and maybe Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia was parading a couple of Chinese missiles in the last week or so in one of their parades in Saudi Arabia, which indicates they're no longer relying strictly on the United States, and they are developing relationships with Red China. And we've got China involved in a small event at sea at Vietnam. All right, where they fired at some Vietnamese ship with water cannons. All right, nobody was killed. So far as I know, no one was injured. But it's another one of those steps where people are beginning to get a little bit rowdy, and they're willing. It's like they walk into a bar and they're just saying, "All right, I'll fight the toughest guy in the bar." They may be both drunk, they may be both stupid, but they are pointing us in the direction of an unstable time. We see the same thing Japan and China with the islands in the China Sea. We can speculate that sooner or later one of these little problems is going to grow into a big problem. Not necessarily, but the more little problems you have, the more likely you're going to see big problems. If that's the case, insofar as that's the possibility, that's the probability, we need to prepare. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We're out of time. Thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.